You are listening to a Campfire Firecast.
Yeah, the story of a remix, and for me, quite a story really, because it's the first time I've been back in a recording studio in well over a decade, probably 12 or 13 years, I think, and it was this sense of collaboration that really sparked me in the first instance. It was a very spontaneous outpouring of community, of finding our voices individually and collectively, and the credit for that has to go to Tobias Hug, who proposed the idea of just at the last minute of doing some circle singing. He approached me a couple of weeks before the Campfire Convention at the Union Chapel, a venue which was resonant for me anyway, because it's where the Big Chill started some 23 or 4 years previously. And Toby, we didn't have any time at that point left in the programme, so I said to Toby, well, let's play it by ear and see if we can fit something in during one of the breaks. And it was in between a couple of the panels that we thought, well, we can sneak something in here for 10 minutes or so. So Toby stepped up and just spontaneously got people limbering up in this sort of yogic pre-vocal exercise routine, really, which was very spontaneous and very organic, and immediately I think people sensed they were part of something that was about to build. So there were people just running on the spot and shaking their limbs and moving their necks around and just limbering up in a very yogic sort of way.
My name's Bryony, and one of my highlights at the London Campfire event was the impromptu community choir. It kind of summed up the spirit of Campfire for me. We literally had 5 minutes at the end of the Think Shop, so we warmed up with some quick, really playful vocal and physical exercises, and before we knew it, he'd split us into sections, given us cues for sound and rhythm ideas. He's basically a brilliant conductor, and told us when to come in, whether it should be softly or loudly. And effortlessly, we created an improvised, harmonious, textured performance with some cool beatboxing from Tobias that brought it all together. He inspired our innate creativity, reminded us that at any moment, we have the tools to do this thing that we've been doing since time immemorial, often around campfires, connecting with others, expressing our experiences and feelings, celebrating our diverse talents, and working together to produce something that benefits everyone, even those who just listened. And actually, it was just really good fun.
So one of my main musical influences has been Bobby McFerrin. Now, he's really a one-man orchestra. He's really incredible. He's using his voice in very instrumental ways. Some call it beatboxing, but really he just sings all the parts at once. And a lot of his work is based on improvisation and inspired by it. So he improvises, whole concerts could be improvised, and he improvises with the audience. He just creates little motifs. He gets the audience to repeat it. And then once he's created 2, 3, 4 different of these interlocking motifs, you have a song and everyone gets to sing together, and it's a really powerful musical moment in his concerts. People who don't usually sing, they become part of this music making process that feels spontaneous, or that is spontaneous, and it's really powerful. The concept is really to loop little motifs, and looping is essentially just repetition. The circle singing is, it's about repeating motifs, and this is a really powerful, psychologically powerful tool in music. You get yourself into a trance-like state through this repetition. And it's obviously it's used in musical forms like a canon, like a round song, like a ground bass, and it's also used in religious practice like a mantra or prayer, where you know people get into a trance-like state by repeating the music. So. And it's also about connecting with other people. So this idea of circle singing is really powerful. It's really beautiful. It's very easy. You don't have to be a singer. You don't have to be necessarily very skilled. It's very democratic. Everyone can be part of it. But you can develop it, as Bobby has done, you can develop it into a quite sophisticated art form as well. So I'm really a big fan of it.
He'd already told me about the whole circle singing thing, so I was very much sort of primed for what might happen, but I didn't expect people to really participate with the sort of unbridled glee that was you could see on their faces as they were just emoting and letting stuff out and being part of something. And it seemed symbolic for me of Campfire in so many senses. It was like a microcosm occurring in just a few minutes. And so many smiles on people's faces when it finished. And luckily I had my iPhone on me and chose, rather than to get involved, I thought, well, I'll capture this because it's going to be a really important moment. And the reaction of showing back that video on the Campfire site was such that I was really enthused to do a bit more with the track. I took it into Bruce's shed studio. He'd just moved to a new house and hadn't really done much in the shed. And we had a couple of spare hours one evening and went in there and just tried to take some of the key samples of the piece vocally. I think we ended up with just three or four.
After the Campfire convention, Pete popped over here for the night and played me one of the recordings that he'd made on his phone for Tobias's singing circle. We were at a bit of a loose end, so we went up to my studio and started working on the basis for the track. So this involved me just sort of chopping up or finding the usable bits from the samples he had. And then, I don't know, we just piddled around, really. Messed around, which is, you know, always a good thing to do in the studio. I sort of put the bits I had together to a sequence, got the timing right, and then just got Pete to stamp his foot on the floor, which was... one of the best kick sounds I think I've ever recorded, actually. It was great. I'll probably use it on something else. We had a semblance of a track together. I put down some piano, got Pete to do some very entertaining sort of grunting and panting noises, which I found particularly amusing, and I think he did as well.
It'd be good if I could hear my vocal a bit. We started to build a rhythm track outside of that, and I immediately got into the spirit of it and just sort of got overcome by some sort of outside primal urge that just came in. And I said, Bruce, have you got a microphone? He said, yeah, have a go. And I just started, these sort of guttural primal sounds were coming out of me, which I don't know where they were coming from, but they just felt very appropriate and very much part of the energy of the track. And from then on, really, it sort of assumed its own life. And I was very much sort of playing around with found sounds in Bruce's shed.
No, it was a good session. But I was busy with other projects, so I handed the reins over to Pete. And I think, is it Graham? To carry on the baton. Keen to... do a remix of this now we've got the basic track sorted. It sounds very polished to me. Yeah, so there you go.
Bruce was very instrumental in getting the first sounds down. He then didn't have the time to continue with it, so we passed it on to Graham Holdaway in Shepton Mallet, who I'd worked with many, many years previously. In fact, when the Big Chill first started, Graham was engineering Eyelid Movies, which was the first mix CD I did for the Big Chill. And I think for him it was a bit of an eye-opener, because I was bringing in all sorts of other sounds and making it into a bit of a journey into sound, I guess. And it was a good process, and we built up a good relationship then, and he did some live work with us with the Big Chill, so he was a natural choice. And being very local, he had some great ideas as well. And we started to think what else we could add to the track, so I laid down some percussion tracks using a variety of instruments and shakers and hand drums that he had in his studio. And then started to think about what more we could do with vocals. So I approached Toby and asked if he could improvise some more sort of lead vocals. So he just put that into his phone and sent across the files. And that sort of established a new way of working, which was very spontaneous and very much about sort of phoning in your contribution.
Pete and I go way back, because I helped him to edit together one of the first Big Chill compilation CDs, which I found a very interesting experience, because he was dealing with DJ tracks in a way that I'd never experienced before, sequenced in a certain kind of way, and there were little sections in between the tracks which I found intriguing. So we compiled the all of the various sounds and the power of the track as we worked the Tibetan temple bowl and the chants into a cohesive whole. It did things to your brain chemistry and became more and more powerful the further we got with the sounds and the atmosphere, the soundscape, as I like to call it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to take the track to its conclusion, but actually it was good that it got handed on to somebody else, who will also do one of these. And when I next heard the track, I thought it had grown in power and its ability to move people in a way that was quite entrancing. We're going to do some remixes, I'll do one of them, and it was a really interesting experience, and I hope we can do more.
I was speaking to Kim Firmley down in Bournemouth, and she had a Tibetan bowl which she sent in, just hit it a few times, and the resonance just from the file, you know, on her iPhone was incredible. She then had an idea, as she heard the track unfold, of approaching her friend Urshad in Sheffield to do a sort of Islamic call to prayer section. So we made the track, it became a much wider context of sort of global devotion, I guess, and a very spiritual track began to take shape in new ways.
Fernley, and I was out in Greece last summer, and I spent a few days at Pete's lovely house in Paros, where I was doing my regular yoga practice, and he heard some of the music and chants that I use in my practice, and he was intrigued as to what they meant and how they were used, and I sort of introduced him to yoga, which I'm pleased to say he's now taken up somewhat in his new place in Vroom. And the Satanama means sort of the circle of everything, and in yoga it is done with a mudra, which is a hand posture, and it is the thumb and forefinger connecting together in a circle. And once I explained this to Pete, it sort of excited him and reminded him of the campfire idea and the idea of a circle, and everything continues. And the Satanama is four words, and Sa means infinity, Ta is life, Na is death, and Ma is rebirth. And so it's the continuation of everything, that everything is connected. Satanama. so shortly after that, sometime I think it was November, we did the Union Chapel event, and there was a circle singing, and from there I think Pete was inspired to do this music, and the next thing I heard, I was asked, called to do some chanting, and so I recorded the Satanama chant very basically from my kitchen onto my iPhone, thinking they were just wanting to know what it sounded like. The next thing I know, it's on a track. After which they called me and asked me if I could send a singing bowl, which Pete had also heard me use at one of the Bournemouth Beacon circles. And I sent the sounds of my singing bowl, which was handmade in Nepal under the full moon, and shipped over here last year. And so I played a few beats of that, having had no idea what it was for. And next thing I know, that's also on the track. I'm not sure how long afterwards, not very long, I received a link and a demo to this track, and I heard sort of voices and chanting, and suggested that with the idea of unity, which seemed to be the theme, the Satanama, the circle of life and birth and death and infinity, the singing bowl for me represents the same things. I visualise the ripples on a pond when you've thrown a stone in, with the ripples of the sound going out in the circle, and singing bowls are often used in circles. And I have a dear friend who is a whirling dervish called Irshad Muhammad, and I suggested to Pete that instead of just the calling they had, perhaps they could create even more unity by having a call to prayer. So I called Irshad, and he was in a market somewhere, I think buying a mobile phone cover, and he in Sheffield, not in Marrakesh. And he and I just texted him and said, please, could you just chant me some calls to prayer? And he said, of course, darling, without even asking me what it was for. And he recorded them onto his phone, which I then sent on to Pete, which they've now used in the track. So that's my very small involvement in the track, which I think is absolutely superb. And I have done yoga to it, so it's inspiring, and it works very well with Kundalini energy yoga of power and breath, and the continuation and power of our own breath. I think it's wonderful, and I hope that they do some more.
So we moved on again and had a third producer sort of come in as a collaborator. And I was lucky enough to find someone in Froome. And Paul Leonard came in and did a lot more than engineering the track. He contributed quite a bit to the ideas behind the arrangements and put in some instruments here and there as well. So there was a lot of the sort of ambient feel of the track that he helped create. And we built up a really good way of working, which lasted, I suppose, over 4 or 6 weeks, where I would go round to his house and play with the arrangements a bit, shift a few things around, try a few EQs, get a sense of structure for the track, and then he would work away on those ideas, send me over the file of the latest version, and I'd get back to him on the comments on that version, and perhaps go over again a few days later, maybe once a week, twice a week, and we built the track again very organically.
I thought it was an interesting project. I really like the idea of trying to develop it, and I was just thought a very interesting thing to try and do. It all seemed a bit raw at the start when you first played it to me, and I was thinking, how are we going to make something out of this? But you obviously had a clear idea of how it should be put together, and I thought it would be great fun to see what we could do as a team together. Much chanting myself. I do play for in camps. I play for Dances of Universal Peace, which involves chanting. I'm not really singing, I'm playing music for that, but I like the sort of meditative sort of aspect, and just sort of the repetitive mantra, and simple repetitive mantras. It's nice. was inspired by what you wanted and just tried to sort of do it, but I did try and sneak the odd little thing in here that I thought would enhance it, which you seem to like, so it sort of all went very well. I sort of tried to keep it very low in the mix and sort of add slightly strange things just to sort of bring a bit more in the bass and things like that, and that, and then we just kind of it was I think it was a bit of a teamwork sort of creating it. Yeah, we added a bit of virtual choir at the end that was quite fun, that seemed to work. I was a bit wondered whether that would or not, but it seemed to work okay. Just all came together, really, didn't it? It was a fun process. When you first told me you were going to get someone, you said he'd recorded something randomly, as far as I could tell, into an iPhone that we had to mix in there. And when I first heard, I thought, oh such quality. But then when we actually sort of played around with it and got it in there and tweaked the EQ a little bit, got the levels right and things, it sort of worked quite magically, I thought.
What's been great about the whole thing is the fact that it's been such a big collaborative effort. Over 30 people have been involved in the process, including the original singers, and then it's just become something else. So what I'm looking for, really, and hoping for, is the next stage, that some of the people involved on the journey will offer their own mixes, and a couple of people who weren't on the journey so far will be able to pick it up and offer remixes and take it in another new direction. It's been a joy for me to work on from start to finish, and I really hope I can carry on making music now, because when I was making music during the Big Chill years, there was a lot of time pressure and a lot of music going around, and I was always thinking, how can I program this music I've been sent, or can I give them a review or a DJ play or some feedback or whatever it was they wanted from sending me it. And in a way, coming out of that Big Chill thing, I sort of revisited music in a different way and just listening to it for my own pleasure once again, which was quite difficult to get back into that. And I had to then go through a period of time before I was ready to make to be involved in the creative process of making music. But this track has been a great one to pull me back in, and I'm really pleased it's happened.
So circle singing is about collaborative music making. We are creating music together, and there's a space for everybody to express themselves, but it all comes together in one musical context. And I think this fits really nicely with the philosophy of Campfire. You have to be present, you have to listen, but you're also being heard. Everyone has their space and their moment where it's their turn to contribute and to raise their voice. that's what Campfire is about as well, creating those connections, but on all levels, not just on one level or a virtual level. And that positive network that supports and inspires, that's really where ideas come from. And especially in these times at the moment, I think that's what's needed. People are disconnecting, they're separating on all levels rather than working together. I've met some extraordinary people through Campfire, and I think it's a fantastic network, and I'd really love to bring my musical ideas to it.